of Rat's Reputation. I'll just remind you once again, you're listening to KUCI in Irvine, and hit a little theme music. Darkling Eclectica presents a collection of broadcast fiction brought to you by the Darkling Eclectica. Reputation by Michael H. Payne, Part 19. Tongues are wagging and bachelors sighing all over town at the company a certain mouse lodge mistress has been keeping of late, and since the lodge only has one mistress, I think the more astute reader might just be able to figure out who this tall, dark, and dangerous mystery suitor might be. Of course, Ms. Nibbler merely smiles and denies everything, but let's not forget that she's also a member of the town council, a body that's been accused of shading the truth a bit here and there, every now and then. From Society Notes by Lyra Hoffner, Ottersgate Daily Fluxion, 63rd day of summer, 1737. You need any chocolate? Rat crooked a claw at the Whistler's confectionery stand. Kylie cocked her head.
Well, need is maybe too strong a word.
Oh, not for me.
He brushed his whiskers and started toward the booth.
Well, I had no idea.
A flick of fur, and she was right beside him again.
By all means, then.
Rat smacked his lips. The only thing he'd really missed, all these years not coming to the Autumn Festival, was the food. Caramel corn, fried pies, more sorts of fruits and vegetables gathered together in one place than he saw all year. And above everything else, resting his paws on the counter, he took a deep whiff, the sweetness almost overpowering. A mouse in a white apron pouring thick brown goo from a steaming pot into several rectangular molds. Rat slung his satchel around, undid the flap, dug for some scrip.
Two, please.
The mouse glanced up, grinned, and gestured to a rack, bars there wrapped in wax paper.
For you, Rat, on the house. New company policy. Anybody faces down a bear, he gets free chocolate.
Rat could only blink. It was Kylie who ended up taking two bars.
Thanks, Onar.
No problem, Counselor Nibbler.
The mouse dribbled the last few drops from his pan.
I mean, the way you got Uncle Sendry to agree to the wedding, well, me and Tish owe you more than candy, that's for sure.
I'm just glad it turned out all right.
She held one of the bars out to Rat.
Shall we get out of folks' way? What?
Rat looked over his shoulder, saw mice smiling in line behind him.
Oops. Sorry, folks.
Tipping his hat, he stepped to the side, touched his tongue to the end of the bar. It was nice, he had to admit, the way the smiles he got in town had started outweighing the frowns, folks he didn't even recognize coming up to him on the street and thanking him for what he'd done. And for once, the stories he heard more or less reflected what had actually happened. Oh, sure, most of them left Bobcat out completely, something the cat kept claiming he didn't mind, but even Fisher had been hard-pressed to come up with a version that cast Rat as the bad guy this time. Oh, she'd found one by asking Ms. Hambaka, of course, and she'd told it to Rat and Kylie over dinner one evening. Mean Mr. Rat had been trying to convince the bears to invade the town, but Harlow Thax had convinced them not to. Other than that, though, Kylie's claws, he noticed, were tapping his elbow.
Are we gonna stand here all night?
She asked with a smile. He gave the chocolate another lick.
Sorry, just letting the sugar soak into me.
He gestured along the midway.
So where do you want to go? They still won't let me into the squirrel parts of the festival, but...
It's a sad day.
a sour and all too familiar voice said,
"when I have to say that squirrels show some sense."
Kylie turned, her whiskers giving a tight little flick.
"Aunt Meline, are you enjoying the festival?"
Rat forced himself to turn, too, the pale yellow mouse frowning up at him.
"I was until this very moment."
Staring into her pinched face, the Nibbler clan emblem looking completely out of place around that thin neck, Rat couldn't stop himself.
"You know, I find it hard to believe you enjoy much of anything."
Her gaze got even frostier.
"I'll not have you speak to me that way,"
she said quietly. Rat shrugged.
"Then I'd say this conversation's over."
A jab to his ribs, and Kylie smiled tightly.
"I'm sorry, Aunt Meline, but I think we'd better be on our way.
Oh, you'd like that, wouldn't you?"
She didn't speak any louder, but the hate, the fear, the anger in her words, they made Rat's whiskers sting.
"Ottersgate's new hero makes me sick, and don't think I haven't noticed the way you're parading around with him a month before the clan elections."
Kylie took a breath.
"I'm not running for clan leader. My duty's on the town council and at the lodge."
"Oh, yes."
The older mouse looked like she wanted to spit.
"Our precious lodge mistress. So perfect, so helpful."
She crooked a thumb at herself.
"I am the Nibbler clan head, however, and I'll thank you to keep your snout out of business that doesn't concern you."
"If folks come to me with problems,"
Kylie spread her paws,
"I'll do whatever I can for them."
Meline's tail shook, her rage so palpable, Rat wanted to take a step back.
"Even if it means undermining the very structure of our society?"
"Undermine?"
Kylie's shoulders bunched, her anger bursting out now, more contained, but just as sharp against Rat's whiskers.
"Aunt Meline, if you did your job, I wouldn't have to. Not all new ideas are bad, you know, and if you want to be effective, you need to look around at how things are changing."
She started to step forward, but Rat put a paw on her arm, kept it there till she relaxed a bit.
"I'm sorry,"
she said, her eyes still on the other mouse.
"I don't mean to be rude, but if you can't see that, you can't help anyone."
Aunt Meline sniffed, tugged at the edge of her scarf.
"I see that you take after your father and grandfather."
Her gaze flicked over to Rat.
"Just be careful, or you might share their downfalls."
Turning, she padded off toward the Ottersgate booths, further along the midway. Rat shook his head.
"I should have let you deck her."
Kylie didn't say anything, her chest rising and falling, the anger in her scent crackling away like the heat of a bonfire burning down. Rat squeezed her shoulder.
"You want to head back to town?"
"No."
A few more breaths.
"I won't let her ruin tonight."
She shook herself and smiled up at him.
"In fact, I'd say we deserve an extra bit of fun after that."
His ears perked.
"The tilt-a-whirl?"
She took his arm.
"It's like you're reading my mind."
"Yawn, my tinies, snuggle down and sleep. All this night your Uncle Rat will keep his eye on your window, his eye on the night. Rest and dream and know that everything will be all right."
Lullaby heard in Ottersgate, 1737. The clock on Kylie's mantle chimed six, and Rat looked up from the newspaper.
The town council meeting was supposed to have let out half an hour ago.
Standing, he padded across the front room to the desk, Kylie's calendar there covered with her precise writing. One thing he'd learned this autumn, her schedule, crowded as it always was just a starting point each day. Between the town council and the lodge and all the folks who wanted her help, if she didn't write in specific times for meals, he wasn't sure she'd ever eat. Running a claw along the page, he whistled, amazed at how fast the year was going. Only 2 more weeks till the winter solstice, for crying out loud. Today's date had 10 appointments listed, but the only thing after the council meeting was dinner with Rat. So she'd be here. It was on her calendar, after all. He smiled, moved back to the sofa by the fireplace, and sat. She probably just got waylaid by someone wanting to get a place on her schedule for later in the week. How she did it, He had no idea, moving from dawn to dusk, dealing with problems smoothly and efficiently, never seeming to get ruffled. Well, except that night at the Autumn Festival. But then, Rat had to fight the same sensation to take a swing at Malene every time he saw her marching along wearing the Nibbler clan emblem. She'd been re-elected last month, sure, but the turnout had been the lowest in years. And besides, everybody knew better than to take their problems to her. As a last resort, maybe, if they couldn't wait for a place on Kylie's schedule. But a shadow fell over the front window, and something tapped on the glass. Something that smelled like hawk feathers? Rat moved to the door, pulled it open, and peered out to see Captain Hawk squatting in Kylie's front yard, his scent uneasy, his eyes darting up and down the block. He was out of uniform, too, his vest pinstriped and sporting a watch chain instead of his badge. Rat stepped outside, the chill in the air amplifying the chill he suddenly felt.
Rollo? What's wrong?
The usual.
Hawk crooked a talon toward downtown. I was coming off duty when I heard a ruckus in Judge Owl's chambers. The big six clan heads in there complaining about you. Nothing new as far as I could tell, but...
He blew out a breath. If you'd just come down to the Bailey Oak and get that old warrant cleared up, they wouldn't have a thing to...
What?
It was like he'd slipped on ice, crashed through into freezing water below.
After everything, they still... How can they...
Anger flaring up, he bashed a paw into the door jamb, wood chips flying.
Damn!
Simmer down,
he heard Hawk say. This isn't really about you. They just...
Isn't about me!
He glared at the bird.
It's always been about me with them, from the very first day I got here. Even after I saved their damn town from bears, they...
Will you shut up?
Hawk slammed his wings against his sides.
It's Kylie they're after, you idiot!
That made him stop.
Kylie?
Gods!
Muscles bunched under Hawk's feathers.
All that tracking sense, and you still can't see what's right in front of you.
He snapped his head down to Rat's level.
The clan leaders don't like how she's helping folks who'd normally come to them. And since they can't figure out how to discredit her directly, they're going after you.
Wait.
Rat shook his head.
They're using me to get to Kylie?
Hawk clicked his beak.
Clan politics at its dirtiest.
But...
His stomach tightened. This was worse than them driving him out of town. Worse than the most bald-faced lie anyone had ever told about him.
I gotta go. Get away before they have a chance to...
No, you don't.
Hawk's voice was hard. You've gotta come down to the Bailey Oak and...
Why?
Rat flailed his paws out.
The six run this town. I can't expect fair treatment from...
Will you just...
Those wings came at him, but Rat jumped up, flipped over them, landed on all fours to Hawk's left, his whiskers spread, ready to run. Hawk glared at him, but didn't move.
You've got more friends in this town than you deserve, and every one of them would stand up for you if you just stand up for yourself. But as long as that warrant's still around, the clan heads can claim...
As long as I'm still around, you mean?
Rat turned for the hedge.
I never should have come back. Never should have thought they'd let me live here without trying to...
Rat!
But Rat was over into the street, scrambling along the cobblestones.
How could he have been so stupid? Of course they'd try to get to Kylie through him. He was the weak link, always had been, in Grandpa's plans to make this town a better place. Plans Kylie was now trying to keep alive. Plans he was once again on the verge of screwing up.
Wings behind and above him.
Rat!
Skidding around the corner and down the hill, he saw the west channel ahead. Over the sand, and he dove into the water.
Quick as a serpent's tongue he was, flickering light like a fire at dusk. A crackle behind you, you turn, it's gone, just smoke on the breeze and a faint touch of musk.
From Otovio Magpie's unfinished Rat's Passage. The place stank, some sort of elm disease rotting the whole stump above the little hollow, which was good. No one would be able to sniff him out. He curled around his tail in the darkness, the air damp and cold from the snow falling outside. A week he'd spent running and backtracking, burying all trace of his passage as he went, using the snow when it began yesterday to scrub his spoor away. He'd dug his way under this rotting stump last night, had decided to hole up here till he thought of what to do next. At least he'd be safe from anyone trying to... A rumble below folded Rat's ears. Louder and louder, the ground shaking now, the spongy wood creaking overhead, and the earth split open beside him, red light bursting up, something black and huge rushing out of the crack, the stink of sulfur and mud and boiling rock curling his whiskers. Then the crack slammed closed, the darkness crashing back, just silence and two swirling amber dots. Until a voice spoke, a voice as soft and rough as a step into sandy soil.
"I reckon you know who I am, son."
Anger tight in his stomach, Rat rolled over.
"Leave me alone."
A chuckle behind him.
"Well now, that ain't the most mature thing I've ever heard."
"I don't give a damn what you think."
"Well, that ain't the way I figure it."
A big claw jabbed gently into his back.
"You do give a damn what folks think. But when they don't think about you the way you want them to, you gets all upset. You want them to accept you on your own terms, and when they don't, you go running off to hide under a tree stump."
The claw jabbed him again.
"Stop it!"
Rat uncurled and spun, slashed through the darkness looking for that claw.
"They got no right to judge me, no right to use me against Kylie like that, no right to make me feel like I'm 7 years old again and they've got the power of life and death over me."
"No argument there,"
that voice said, only air meeting Rat's attacks.
"It ain't right what they're doing. But they're gonna keep doing it, sure as anything. Unless somebody makes them stop."
"No!"
Rat tried to kick out those glowing eyes, but his paws passed through them like mist.
"I'm not going to be something I'm not. Not a hero, not a monster, not a squirrel, or a mouse, or a rat, or whatever else they say I'm supposed to be. I'm just going to be me."
"And what's that?"
The voice came from his left now. Rat whirled and struck nothing.
"A whiny little snot-nosed punk? Someone who runs each time a little whiff of trouble starts tickling the air? Or maybe someone who only runs when his friends need his help. That what you reckon you're gonna be?"
"Shut up!"
Rage crackled his fur, the too sweet stink of the diseased wood filling his lungs. He lunged after the voice, the eyes, the vague dark shape that loomed first on one side, then the other. But he just ended up flinging himself further into the blackness, his flailing paws never meeting anything.
"Shut up!"
He heard himself yelling over and over, time seeming to stretch, attack after attack, bringing him no contact whatsoever.
"Just shut up!"
"Oh, I'll shut up."
The voice kept moving, Rat chasing it through vast, dark spaces.
"But only when I've had my say. And it ain't that I'm trying to tell you how to live your life, but, well, I don't like seeing you piss everything away, if you'll pardon my language."
Whirling, kicking, clawing. How long had he been fighting like this? Hours? Days? All his life, it felt like suddenly. And he cried out, redoubled his efforts, dug at his memories for every move Grandpa had taught him, every trick to track down and defeat whatever enemy he might face.
"Yep,"
the voice said.
"Except when that enemy's inside your own head. I mean, how many times have you decided you're going to live the way you wanna, huh? How many times, as many times as you give in to them little fears that keep poking at you, I reckon?"
The claw stroked the fur between his shoulder blades, Rat spinning, slashing, so exhausted he almost tripped over himself.
"Soon as something comes up you can't fight with your paws and claws, something more like folks laughing at you and talking about you instead of a deranged hawk or a stoned bobcat or a delusional bear, you just come all to pieces."
Gasping for breath, Rat took one last swing at a thick place in the darkness, but he whiffed right through it, lost his balance, tumbled over panting onto the ground, sparks of color flashing across his eyes. Felt like weeks since he'd last lain down.
"You gotta face it, son,"
that voice rumbled above him.
"Some folks ain't never gonna like you, but those folks what do are a treasure worth any fight to keep. And the hardest fights, the one where you has to stand there and just let them all swing at you."
The voice broke, and soft warmth embraced him. Rat opened his eyes, saw a fire ring burning in the hollow under the stump, an old armadillo setting a log into the flames.
"Rocky?"
Rat managed to get out. The armadillo turned, gave him a crooked smile.
"Weren't expecting anyone else, were you?"
"I don't know."
Even thinking about sitting up made his head spin.
"Unless you're really that damn Kit Fox."
"Oh, there ain't nothing wrong with Kit."
The firelight danced up, soothing Rat's aches.
You just gotta know how to handle him. That Fisher friend of yours, she's got the right attitude, seems to me.
Rat gave a tired laugh, then realized the light was showing him an oak's roots in the roof of the cave.
Wait, I was under an elm tree when we...
Yeah.
Rocky shook his head.
That still needs work on coming out into your earthly time and all.
He waved a claw.
We're a fair piece north of your town. It got us a pretty mean blizzard outside, too. And, well, I reckon it's been 2-3 months since you crawled under that old elm.
What?
This time he did sit up, but cold gripped his head, his vision bursting into confetti.
Oh, settle down now.
Big paws lowered him to the ground.
The way you was fighting me, I thought we'd be going till next summer. You just rest up. You'll get back to town by the first of spring, easy.
Rat's eyes cleared, that gray armadillo face peering down at him.
You are going back to Ottersgate, ain't you?
Rat sighed, nodded, closed his eyes.
Good, because I'd hate to have to kick your sorry tail from one end of creation to the next any more than necessary.
His voice got quiet.
You go on being mad at me all you want, but don't do you no good to keep punishing yourself for something that's not your fault in the first place.
What?
Rat forced his eyes open. The armadillo had settled back, was watching the fire.
I had some magma flow details to talk over with Tigress, and since that rat city was burning down, and she's never too far from any major conflagration, I heads on over and pops to the surface. And what's the first thing I hear? A baby screaming.
A pale grin curled his snout.
I ain't never had no kids of my own, so I sniffs around, and there's that squirrel fella smelling sweet as fresh-baked pumpkin bread. In 100 years...
He waved a paw.
I don't know no different. What's 100 years to a rock?
Only the crackling of the flames for a moment. Then those golden eyes slid over, fixing Rat with their ancient warmth.
There ain't nothing I can really do to make it right. I know I ain't as smart as Kit or as stubborn as Squirrel, and I ain't never fiddled round in the affairs of you earthly folk afore. But I know what it's like to lose a home, and I'm damn sorry I done that to you.
Those eyes hardened to granite.
But you got another home now, and you try walking out on that.
His smile came back, the granite shattering.
Well, you and me's gonna have to have another little talk.
Again, Rat couldn't help laughing.
All the times you've saved my life, I'd be an idiot to be mad at you, Rocky. Or should I say, my lord?
You do, and I swear to my grandma I'll shave you balder than I am.
Rocky shook a claw at him.
And now you've made your decision to go back. You stick with it for once in your goddamn life. You hear me?
I will.
He let himself relax into the soft earth.
If you'll help me.
Always, son. Always.
Cradled in the Lord Armadillo's arms he lay, the Lady Squirrel silent on his right, the Lord Kitfox quiet to his left. The Lady Raven spread the night sky soft and gentle overhead, while the Lord Eft and the Lady Dolphin swept the cold night's clouds away. And from the stars, the others watched, the Lord Lion and the Lady Lioness, the Lord Tiger and the Lady Tigress, the Lord Leopard and the Lady Leopardess, watching over him while he slept, his heart a fragile, glowing spot of warmth against the winter's dark. Bartolomeo Paracas.
Rocky was gone when he came awake, of course. Muscles sore and stiff, he sat up. The fire burned low in the little pit, cold nipping at the edge of the air, and telling him the snow had long since stopped falling. But the only armadillo scent was the barest possible trace coming from Rat's own fur. Taking his time, he limbered up, stirred and stamped the fire out, then began digging into the roots that formed the roof of the hollow. A dozen tail lengths straight up, and he turned left. It took him less than an hour to reach the outer bark, and he poked through it into open air to find a lovely winter afternoon waiting for him. North of Ottersgate, Rocky had said, and the mix of oaks and pines around him confirmed it.
The only snow lay in dirty patches between the trees, and the warmth in the air told him it was late winter, which confirmed the other piece of info the Lord Armadillo, Rocky, he reminded himself, didn't want to wake up to find himself shaved after all, Rocky had given him, that their mixing it up had taken most of the season. Rat shook his head. No more fooling around with this curial stuff. That was one thing he was sure of. Well, that and going back to Ottersgate. Round up Fisher and Skink, Bobcat, too. The cat had gotten positively friendly after that whole thing with the bear, and him knowing the mayor wouldn't hurt. Then head on in to the Bailey Oak. If he could get word to Kylie that he was on his way. A little chill up his back. The clan leaders wouldn't have tried anything against her directly in the months that he'd been wherever it was Rocky had taken him, would they? No, not if Hawk had been reading the situation right. But still, the sooner Rat got back and turned himself in, the better. A clench in his stomach. They'd lock him up, throw away the key, maybe even feed him to the Air Force. But he swallowed against it. No more of that. He'd been an idiot to let this thing go on so long. Time to get it cleared up. Widening the hole, he hopped out onto the damp earth. Walking the rest of the afternoon, he found a fox trail, followed it till he met the fox coming the other way.
Ottersgate!
The fox waved a paw to the southeast.
Oh, about 4 days' travel, seems to me. Don't get down that way myself much, but I had an uncle who used to...
20 minutes later, Rat managed to squirm out of the conversation and head in the direction the fox had pointed. At nightfall, hours after he expected it, it was apparently very late in the winter, he holed up in what smelled like an old badger den, burned the remains of some furniture in the fireplace. The next day and the next, he headed southeast, the air distinctly warm, no snow anywhere by the second day, the birds singing their equinox wishes to each other. Rat shook his head. The first day of spring. Looked like Rocky was even worse at timekeeping than he'd thought. He pushed himself that day and the next, covered as much ground as possible, and by afternoon, he started recognizing the landscape. Fisher's sycamore should be just south of him. Picking up his pace, he arrived at the clearing before sunset, stepped out from the trees, his whiskers spread, ready to give her a shout. But only stillness met him. He scurried across, clambered up the tree onto the deck, stepped through the hole in the trunk that led to her library, but no one was around. Skink's scent was strong, as was... He sniffed at the planks. Bobcat? Yes, he'd been here with Fisher and Skink a day or two ago. Skink had left first, then Bobcat and Fisher had hung around another day before going off together. Which was weird, he hadn't thought they liked each other. Fisher's backpacks were gone, too, her kitchen cupboards nearly empty. The dirty dishes in the sink, toast crumbs and coffee dregs, told him they'd left this morning or the previous. But where? He could track them down, of course, see if they might need help with whatever they were. He stopped, Rocky's words suddenly in his head. Make a decision and stick with it for once. With a swallow, he padded back through Fisher's library. He had someplace else he needed to be. Down the tree and into the woods, the way from here very familiar. But he found he had to force himself to take every step. Out into Ree's Meadow he came just as the sun was setting, the Bailey Oak huge above the roofs of Ottersgate. Keeping his ears up, he pushed through the meadow's budding wildflowers, reached the West Bridge, plodded over it and up the hill toward the town common. Of course, the place was full of folk, ball games and picnics going on in the spring's new twilight. He felt each eye that fastened onto him, heard each whispered gasp, smelled the gathering confusion as he mounted the steps carved into the root of the oak outside the ground entrance to Air Force HQ. Paws shaking, he pushed open the glass doors, stepped into the lobby, the starling at the front desk blinking at him in surprise.
"Hi," he said, leaning against the desk. "I understand you folks wanted to talk with me."
Darkling Eclectica Presents has brought you Part 19 of Rat's Reputation by Michael H. Payne. Music and narration were by Michael Payne. Darkling Eclectica Presents is a production of KUCI in Irvine.